Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which you watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very awesome special guest, the very funny Henry Crouch.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's a delight to be here.
You came bearing delicious candy gifts.
Weird candy gifts.
Yeah.
They sounded great.
It's a really thrilling tale. I was at the gas station and I was checking out and
there
I saw
many thrilling tales take place the gas station.
Yeah, of course. And I was checking out and I saw the regular Reese's Pieces or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups rather and the regular M&Ms, which I was going to buy, but just to their left were the coffee nut M&Ms and the white chocolate Reese's Cups, and I figured, you know what? Let's mix it up. This might be a terrible decision I'm making, but what's life without a little variety?
Yeah, that's the reason they make those. So you're like, I wonder what cheesecake chips taste like, you know?
Just keep you trapped in the system.
Or watermelon Oreos. Like, sometimes you just gotta know.
Whoa. Yeah.
Is that a real flavor?
Yeah, that's a real flavor.
That's so inappropriate.
That's almost racist. I think. Almost racist. Okay, so we watched an awesome episode, and we ate delicious gluten-free pizza.
Hey!
Henry's gluten-free!
Hey!
Yay! Gluten-free friends. But before we get started, we always like to ask our guest, what is their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls affected your life in any way, if any way?
I think Golden Girls has affected my life in the sense that as a gay man, I feel deeply ashamed having not seen much of it. Mm. And I feel like this podcast is an opportunity for me to right some wrongs in my past. I've seen a few episodes probably in my life. I've seen...
Doing this podcast makes up for never watching it. Honestly,
I hope
you're published in a Golden Girls podcast.
Yeah,
so if any gay guy tries to be like, fuck, like, you don't fucking know who this character is in Golden Girls, you were like, actually, you can Google Henry Crouch and Golden Girls, and there is something people have. Yeah, so go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
I really hope that all happens exactly as you described it.
It's going to be a Wednesday night.
Okay. Someone's going to confront me on Wednesday night, and I'm going to be able to back it up.
I just like that our podcast is going to be part of justice.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Makes me feel happy.
Drunken late night gay bar justice.
Exactly.
The best kind.
The sloppiest kind. Just to give a little context, so I've seen a few episodes throughout my life, but this is the first episode I've watched in a while, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Fully conscious of it.
Fully conscious. Yeah, it wasn't in the background.
You weren't falling asleep.
Right, right.
Or anything else.
Yeah. The last episode I watched actually was I was staying with an old flame. I went up to Seattle to visit him, and he watches it to go to bed at night, actually. So we watched we watched a great episode where I don't know
was
if I'm allowed...
he 80 years old.
Oh, no, just just 28. Okay. But you know what,
wow, that's great.
He's got an old soul, and it was a great episode about accepting your extended family's proclivities for drag. It was, I believe, Sophia's brother who died and had been a transvestite.
I think it's her son.
Her son, Dorothy's brother.
Phil, he died, and they found out that he had a bunch of... Which is weird, because throughout the series, they know this as a fact.
Right.
It's not a surprise.
Yeah. I thought it was a beautiful episode. It was actually deeply moving, and I got a little choked up. Yeah.
So yeah, the guy choked you.
Yes, I got a little...
It was very kinky.
Yeah, as we were watching the episode, he was choking me.
Yes.
And then we both came. It was a great night.
Aw, that's a great ending.
Yeah. That's so cute.
Yeah.
So... This is the best Scully Girls background, by the way. Okay, so as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to do the synopsis of the episode for the listener who didn't get a chance to watch it or watch it with us.
Yeah, so we have a lot going on in this episode. For starters, Blanche is interested in a man. First time in history that's happened. On the Golden Girls.
What? That?
it's a coworker of hers, a new coworker, and it's a bit complicated, guys. And Dorothy has fallen into an old gambling habit.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Yes. Oh, man. Which apparently she used to have a really serious gambling problem back in the day. And now she's hanging around horse tracks and missing vice principal interviews and
going to dog fights.
Yeah, there's probably a cockfight scene
that
they cut out.
Yeah, for budgetary reasons.
And
they couldn't afford the roosters.
No. Yeah.
Or the dogs.
Who can, really? That is.
Yeah.
She was battling a dog.
What?
maybe
now
that's too
now
far
I can't
of a stretch.
Stop picturing Arthur battling a dog.
Fighting.
She would win.
A Rottweiler.
She would win.
She would.
Yeah,
she crush would it. Come here.
And also Rose gets really into painting.
Which is maybe my favorite like weak ass B plot C plot I've ever seen.
Yes.
Just can we actually talk? I think that's unless there's more to the
like yes, we can talk about this.
Okay.
Cuz what are you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say like I just right off the bat beginning of the episode suddenly Rose is a painter and in an attempt this is literally the first seconds of the episode in an attempt to like legitimize this new plot twist about Rose, like there's this really awkward stage direction where we see Dorothy like walk across screen mm-hmm. and then look at what Rose is painting and nod approvingly and then walk away. Like it's this really stilted awkward moment of like see she is a painter
and I approve
and I approve.
It was I wrote weird excitement. It was her face was like weirdly excited about her painting. Like it was it's like I think somebody got her an easel and then this just happened and then oh my god, I'm a great painter.
She found a set of acrylics in the woods and got a new hobby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, and then there's also like a D plot of Dorothy applying for a principal position, which never went anywhere. I was gonna imagine like she got the position, and she sold like the entire school budget at the racetrack. The students have like no materials.
She gambled away social studies.
This year, students were actually going to be holding classes at the racetrack to save money.
They're going to be
in the jockey's lounge.
In the jockey's lounge where you have sex in, apparently. Mm.
Lots of little men in silk pants with whips, as Blanche
That sounds
says.
Super hot. Mm. I would like to be a part of that. And... Okay, so they're outside. This is all happening outside because that's where you paint. And this is a outdoor painting situation. And Blanche comes in and she's like super excited about her new guy. See, I thought he was the boss, but he was just a coworker, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I just assume that in the 80s, everything was just a stereotype and that you see an old white man, he's a boss. Mm-hmm. Sorry, so that's my fault.
Yeah. He had three names, and that actor also played he played a Guggenheim in Titanic. So
oh, wow.
I would assume that he was the boss. Like, he probably had some kind of senior position.
He was maybe he was like a curator. Like, he wasn't like the boss of the museum, like the director of the museum, but he was like the director of contemporary, or the director of landscape.
Some curatorial apparently, motherfucker.
Apparently, he was like super into landscape art.
Like, yeah, he was a landscape boss.
he was in charge boss. Of kitsch. Come on, well, let's get serious. Okay. And what were his three names? I forget. Donald.
It was one was Donald. That was all I remember was Donald, and I was like, oh, and then fuck
Donald
this guy.
Benjamin, and we'll make it up. Donald yeah. Benjamin Edwards.
Wellington the Third.
Mm-hmm.
Wellington the Third. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this dude. Okay, so we don't see this dude yet, but there was this mention of Dorothy, like, being into a track coach, and mm-hmm. so that was like, I thought that was gonna go into that,
right,
that story,
yeah,
of her, like, I don't know, there were just so many little things that could have been a story and didn't really take place. And that was like kind of a letdown.
Yeah,
they called Stanley a baboon. That was great. Uh-huh.
That was good.
She was an anthropologist for 38 years. Because
yeah, Sophia's working on a resume, which Sophia seems like the best person to work on a resume, mm-hmm. being a person that I don't think has ever really had a job.
Right. Yeah. She's she took she's a never resume had a class.
Job, she's never had a job, but she somehow manages to be a taskmaster.
Yeah, definitely. She's like, she's typing up, yeah, like principal fucking CV. Like, okay, you can do this. Okay.
There's something I actually wanted to bring this up. There's, as someone who hasn't seen that many episodes of the Golden Girls, and I don't know if this is a through line, but there is something terrifying about Sophia.
There's just the
sternness, and maybe it's just my fragile, like, Southern California upbringing, hippy dippy. Mm-hmm. Ness coming out, but there's something very scary to me about her sternness and her speaking with authority even when she's being crazy.
Do you think that if you were to meet her, you'd be afraid of her?
Yes, for sure.
Like, you enjoy watching her be silly, but she would make fun of you.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, I would
That's interesting.
I would want her, I would be afraid of her, and I'd also really want her to approve of me.
I think the relationship that you, if you were to meet Sophia,
mm-hmm.
the relationship you would have to develop with her is a you and her make fun of each other relationship, mm-hmm. and sort of like just be sassy magoos,
okay,
towards each other. And just kind of accept that.
This yeah.
is what's, because that's the relationship she has with everybody.
Yeah.
We are getting really deep into
this. Yeah.
Do you think, Genevieve, that you will be friends with her or just make fun of each other?
I think you can do both, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you can make fun of somebody and be friends with them.
Right. I would hope so.
That's true.
Yeah. I feel
yeah.
like that's an important part of friendship.
She's just very old school, I guess, is sort of like what I'm reacting to.
Yeah.
There's a certain severity about her that mm-hmm. That I'm not used to in people I associate with.
You know, the only people that she... What was that, Genevieve?
She's, like, more severe in this episode than she usually is.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Duly noted.
She was pretty, like, tense in this episode because of Dorothy.
Reasonable. Yeah, understandably so.
Her daughter's spending all the money. And usually... And it's so weird because usually Sophia's the one at the racetrack. Sophia's the one that fucking gambles.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this kind of switched it around.
Huh.
What a hypocrite. Anyway, and so, okay, this was weird. Like, you went to art school.
Mm-hmm.
I found this out.
Yes, I did.
When you paint, you painted?
No, I studied photography, actually. Photography. I can't paint to save my life, but I will answer any questions you have about painting. About
painting? Okay.
Yeah, gladly.
Painting. Well, I thought you could back me up on this, but when I took painting,
mm-hmm.
We had a visual reference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if we wanted to paint, say, a horse,
mm-hmm.
like Rose was painting a horse,
mm-hmm.
you would have a picture of a horse, mm-hmm. or go to the library, find a horse, mm-hmm. or go take a photo. Like, for some reason, Rose thought that she has to go, like,
go to a racetrack
and just look at a horse
and then look at it and then come hold back. It in her mind, leave, and then paint the horse.
And then she's like, she comes back and she's like, all right, I gotta paint this horse that is fresh in my mind.
That's
like
insane.
This isn't how you paint. You need you need to take a community college class, yeah. like I did.
Yeah.
And like, this is just bonkers. Okay. Yeah. Like, and then, but she's able to paint her town out of memory. Mm-hmm. Like, she had no visual reference mm-hmm. for that. And I was just like amazed by that. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you?
Also, they show her horse later on, and it's honestly, it's really not worth the effort of of reviving Dorothy's long dormant gambling habit.
Yeah, no.
and going to a horse betting track. Yeah, like,
yeah, it's in the, I think, the like the penultimate scene when she asks Dorothy what she thinks of her painting, and Dorothy's like not even paying attention. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Right
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not it's no masterpiece by any means.
Maybe like Dorothy got her the easel and like and no photos of horses. She like ripped all the photos of horses out of all the books in the house, and she's like, hey Rose, why don't you paint a horse? Oh, I don't remember what. Oh, we should go to the race. Oh, she planned this whole thing out. No. Okay.
Yeah, maybe in the Golden Girls universe, photos of horses don't exist.
It's illegal in Miami to have a photo of a horse.
It's one of those weird local superstition laws that just was never struck down.
Never have a picture of a horse where children are around or something.
Right.
I don't know.
They found out like the jockeys in the town were fucking horses, and they're like, we need to just stop having any sort of horse paraphernalia around because it's not a good thing.
There was, interestingly, like a bestiality joke in this episode when Rose is describing, isn't it a possum who like, she's talking to, I think this is actually in the next scene, she's talking to Blanche. Oh no, this is a little later on. I guess we should talk about Blanche's
was a possum incest joke.
Yeah.
Where the townspeople of St. Olaf were into this hot possum.
Yeah. And she was trying to use the possum as a metaphor for like how to play hard to catch.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, you know, she gives us little signals, and the men, you know, are really attracted to her. And Blanche says, you mean the males? Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, the men.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's...
Do you think she's like pointing at her little possum vagina with her tail?
She
like,
for sure paints that possum's vagina in that painting. Explicitly. Paints... that possum pussy.
It's just a painting of a possum's vagina.
Mm-hmm.
I would hang that in a museum.
Mm-hmm. I also really wish that we could have seen the painting Rose references called The Last Pancake Breakfast.
Yes!
I want to know what that looks like.
That would have been amazing. If she just takes like a Last Supper and paints pancakes on it, that would be the best thing ever. Waffles.
Yum.
Yeah, that day Jesus turned water into milk
mm-hmm.
or syrup. Okay.
I feel like it's probably also on velvet too. Just a hunch.
On velvet?
Yeah, like.
Oh wow!
I now I really want a velvet painting
my,
of the pancake.
My dad always has these jokes about bad paintings, and the title that he always goes with is Elvis's Last Supper on Velvet.
Elvis's Last Supper on
that's
Velvet.
Like, that's like his amalgamation of a bad like, tacky painting.
This sounds amazing and tacky, and I love it.
Yeah. but I do want to see it.
Okay, so the next scene, Blanche is like legit obsessed with her tits. She's like she's like putting on this necklace in her bosom, and she's like, I'm totally gonna get laid tonight. But this guy's kind of a prude. Like, yeah. He doesn't, I'm sorry, I don't mean to like prude shame, but like, he just has this thing about, you know what, I take that back. At first I thought it was like he doesn't fuck on the first date, and that was gonna be the issue.
Yeah,
which I understand. Mm-hmm. Right, like some people are that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine.
Some people.
Some people. Not us, not apparently. That's the reason you go on a date, so have sex. So we're like, see, people always ask me like what kind of golden girl I am. I always say Blanche.
For sure. That's what I realized in this episode too for
myself.
You're
the Blanche?
Yeah, I'm a Blanche too.
We are fucking the same person.
I know, it's crazy. We're gluten-free.
We're both Blanche.
For me, the moment where I was like, oh, I'm Blanche, was when she said the joke where she said, like, she was talking about how during the date she, like, they go back to his place and she goes to the bathroom, slips herself into his bathrobe, and then, like, shows up in his bedroom doorway just wearing a bathrobe and, like, takes it off in front of him.
I was framed in the doorway.
Yeah.
That's what she says. Framed in the doorway.
And she says, And apparently he says, put your clothes back on, I'm taking you home. And Blanche says, I've never had anyone say put your clothes back on to me before, except with the flashlight in my face. And I was like, oh, that's me. That's, I've been there.
But a flashlight in mm-hmm. your face. It's like out of control. And also, the whole ride home, she never asked him, like, why why did you say that? It's like, she put her clothes back on and probably stormed out. Uh-huh. Is that, do you think that's what happened?
Yeah, she either stormed out or
climbed out the window. Like, gave him no chance to explain himself.
Yeah. Well, because then that plot line would have been over before the episode was over. They had to have a follow-up scene where she finds out what was really going on with him.
Put your clothes back on. I'm calling you an Uber.
Yeah. She was like, wait, don't tell me why you want me to put my clothes back on. Let's talk about this later, closer to the end of the episode.
Let me be angry for, like, 2 days. Let my friend develop an entire addiction before you tell me what the fuck is going on. There was a part where like Rose was like huffing paint thinner, like she was like like it's not huffing it, but like inhaling too much of it. Mm-hmm. And she was legit getting high. That was the best. And also,
that's why she got into painting.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, I never huff paint, but I've huffed other stuff.
Like what?
Duster?
Duster? Uh huh.
Yeah,
for
that's
sure.
Like a high school thing.
Yeah, that's totally a high school thing. There's definitely an episode of what's that?
High school
what's that
things,
like?
Yeah,
there's that
National
intervention
Honor Society prom. Huffing.
Right.
You were saying something about Intervention.
Oh, there's an episode. There's an infamous episode of Intervention with this. It's very sad, but it's truly insane. She's addicted to dust off, and like there's footage of her
I've
on the show
this.
Where she inhales the dust off, and she's like, "It's like I'm walking on sunshine."
Dude,
and there's like YouTube videos of that episode overlaid with "I'm walking on sunshine," the song. It's so dark. It's so fucked up.
I'm walking on sunshine. And then wasn't it like an old dude that was like giving it to her so he could fuck her?
Maybe that's a different episode. I'm pretty sure Homegirl was just like going to Office Depot and buying. There's footage of her just like putting package after package of it in her cart and
but
checking
out. I do love the idea of like some old guy like bringing her like a bunch of packages of like. Computer desk cleaner and just
you got the goods
instead of a six pack. He comes over with a six pack of duster.
Oh no!
And then his lollipop. Like,
hey kid, you want to clean some dust off your keyboard?
I once did duster while I was driving in high school, and I crashed my car.
Oh my
into a wall.
One time I fully crashed my car into a wall and I was just sleepy. I had no excuse. It was literally like I had my first car had been totaled in an accident that was not my fault, and I was without a car for like 3 months, and then like 2 days into having the next car that I got that I bought used, I woke up one morning running late for a haircut and like pull out of the driveway, like turn the first corner off of my street and just keep turning about like until it was like, oh, and there's a cinder block wall in front of me that I have crashed through. And it was so funny because the homeowners were home and they walked outside and I heard one of them say, "Not again."
What?
Someone had driven through their wall before.
Was the wall broken down?
No, they had built it back up again.
And you broke it down.
And I broke it down.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, we're getting sidetracked,
where were you when we needed to tear down that Berlin Wall?
Yeah, I know, right? Just get a sleepy college-age Henry to... solve world issues.
Yeah, maybe they meant the Berlin Wall and then not,
not they were like staunch
their whole
Eastern
lives are walls
Berlin
breaking down.
I don't have any like serious car accident stories except that I once got in two minor car accidents on April Fool's Day.
Oh, that sucks.
Whoa. The same day?
Yeah.
They just shouldn't count if it's on April Fool's. Like, your insurance should just waive it and be like, "No, don't worry about it. It didn't happen."
It's a joke.
That's what I was hoping Progressive would do. And,
family of
no
four
dice.
Was killed, but you know what? We all goof sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a goof.
April 1st, if there's a, like, a, what do they call that movie where everything's legal?
The Purge?
The Purge. Uh-huh. It should be on April 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm up for that.
This part was this scene was the part where Sophia takes notice of Dorothy being at the racetrack, and she's like, "Dorothy, can I speak with you?"
Yeah.
Because Dorothy didn't actually gamble, because it's weird because like they went to go look at a horse and then.
Which is my favorite afternoon spent. Just spent a whole afternoon going to look at a horse.
Yeah.
Really good use
Miami.
Of time.
There's like farmlands around. Like you could go to whatever.
I mean, there are like calendars that you could go look at.
Yeah.
You have to drive to the racetrack, which is probably in like not a good part of town. Like this is totally Dorothy's plot. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going back to that theory where like Dorothy just plotted this.
She wants
out.
An excuse to gamble again. Yeah.
And then Rose was kind of she was kind of naive about it at first. And I was like, but she sort of caught on to what was going on later about Dorothy's gambling, but at first she didn't know that she had a problem. She was just like, okay, yeah, I'll bet. She made money. Rose made money to buy art supplies. That is insane. Okay. So
Sophia pulls Dorothy aside and is like,
"Fuck you, Dorothy.
Fuck you.
like, I know what's going on." And Dorothy sort of just brushes it off. Mm-hmm. Like, "I'm not fucking doing anything. Lay off my back, Mom." Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's when the Donald comes and he's at the doorway and Blanche is like excited. She keeps shaking her bosom and just
drinking a big old slut.
She's thinking about that penis inside her, like, yeah, right now, like, for sure, as we speak. Mm-hmm. She's gonna get it.
Donald notices Rose's painting, yeah, and says, like, hey, you should be in our gallery's, like, local artist wing, which is,
or we should open up a local artist wing. Doesn't he say that?
Oh, no.
Or something. Or he,
I thought he said
one?
That they had one and that he was inviting her.
Yeah, oh, he said, okay, they had one. Yeah. He compares their work to Grandma Moses.
Right.
Which, I would, which he love, thinks Grandma Moses, he thinks, she thinks that he's comparing the horse to Grandma Moses.
Right.
Just someone named Grandma Moses.
Who is Grandma Moses? I don't know.
She's like an outsider artist. Like, she's like a woman. I think she got, like, discovered, like, in her 80s, and she had painted all these things. And
is she? She's black, right?
Is she a black artist? I don't remember.
Because I remember a part of learning about, I think, Grandma Moses, but I think she's a woman of color, I think. Anyway, not important. But
yeah, why she gotta be black?
Why she gotta be black? I just think maybe I met her. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
He invites her to be part of the local artist gallery, furthering what ultimately is the weakest C plot ever. Because really, the rest of her plot is just like, she decides that making art is too stressful.
It's too stressful. Yeah,
which is crazy. She's just like, yeah, I don't. This is a lot of pressure. I don't need to do this. Yeah,
I'm already being like. Museum curators are going after me. This is like not the life I want to live. Oh,
it's a really good, I think it's a really good lesson too, because it ultimately is just like, hey, you know, if you start to get some recognition for your art, but it's giving you anxiety, stop making art. I think that's a great lesson to pass on.
Of success.
Yeah. That's just, if you start to get any inklings of success, just stop it. Stop it.
Also, like, I thought the plot was going to be like, he was going to be more into her art than Blanche.
Mm.
Like, I thought that that's where it was going to go. Mm-hmm. And, like, Blanche was going to get jealous.
Right.
And, like, destroy a painting and being like, why don't you fuck this painting? And since you don't want to fuck me.
It's a time-old and, story.
Yeah, time-old story.
Girl likes
of...
Guy likes painting.
Right,
guy
right. Classic.
Painting of a horse. Mm. He walks in, like, fucking, like, one of the paintings. She walks in on him fucking one of Rose's paintings.
So in the next scene...
We've all been there, girl.
We've all been there.
The next scene's when we find out that Dorothy's gone back to the racetracks to actually bet, right?
Yeah, the next scene... I think she's been doing it. Sophia catches Dorothy reading the racing form.
Right, right.
At night. And she was supposedly reading, like, how to be a principal for dummies or something. I don't know what she was reading, what the fuck she was reading. So she's like, they talk about, like, the episode you watched. They reference it a little bit, I think, where they talk about catching Phil wearing, no, he wasn't wearing women's clothing.
Dorothy's dad, right? And his gambling.
His gambling problem, correct. And then what her son Phil was doing in the bathroom,
oiling his glove.
But he was working on his simplicity patterns. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
From Walmart. Like,
right.
Oh, my
God.
So
it was an allusion to the...
It was like a nod to the dresses.
I gotta say, I kind of miss... Maybe I'm just out of touch with the masturbation metaphor game, but I feel like I'm longing for
an
era...
I'm out of touch with the masturbation metaphor game.
I feel like I have this longing and this sentimentality for... for some bygone era when people got really creative with their metaphors for masturbation.
Did you enjoy this oiling?
Yeah,
glove?
It was gross and very visceral.
It was, yeah. Because I just imagine him oiling his glove and then jerking off.
Yeah,
with it.
That's,
and I was like,
somebody's
that's
fetish.
Rough. Yeah, that is a rough.
Even when it's oiled.
Yeah, even when it's oiled, it's a fucking leather bound with fucking stitch, leather stitching, fucking on your dick.
Could you imagine someone giving you a hand job with a glove? They're like it's safer this way.
God, I don't know.
But yeah, I feel like people used to get way more creative with their, jerking off metaphors. Now I just say jerking off. Yeah, it was a better time when people were...
Give me that. I heard that he was...
repressed.
Buttering a tortilla, the other day, and... That's the metaphor. That's my creativity.
That sounds more like a metaphor for cunnilingus.
Buttering a tortilla. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
maybe.
I can go for that.
or like eating an open face quesadilla. I don't know what. I'm out of control.
Eating an open face quesadilla.
I'm so sorry.
Open face quesadilla.
So you open the quesadilla.
You open it up.
Just shove your face into it.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Are you gay?
I don't know now
because that's so masculine of you to say.
I'm so masked.
So masked. Earlier we're like, you're so masked. Okay.
So masked.
Okay. I love the joke about the paintings about she. Rose is like, this joke needed all these props. I painted the winter of Saint Olaf, the spring of Saint Olaf, and the summer of Saint Olaf. And then the guy's like, what about the fall of Saint Olaf? Like, well, Saint Olaf never fell. Like, but it did almost fall when math was introduced. Oh my God.
New math. It was like in the
division. 60s.
Yeah, they like in the 60s, that's when St. Olaf just finally got long division. but it was like
geometry.
It was like math based on like it's still around, but you don't see it as often. It's like but it was like math based on like different systems besides 10, like a system based on like 6 or something like that, and
that was the new math.
it was like imaginary numbers I think were in there. I don't know if you guys
I remember the number I.
Yeah,
yeah, that was that fucking I hated the number I. That was terrible.
I dropped out of high school. I don't even
That's so, yeah. Math is not my thing.
No.
I got an F in geometry.
Yeah.
Algebra. I got a B in geometry. But when I got an F in algebra, I told my teacher that I am the only person in my family working right now, and I worked at IHOP. I, like, totally lied. And so I'm responsible for all of, like, the money coming into the house, and so that's why I didn't have time to do homework. And I think my teacher just didn't buy it.
That's like so manipulative, Anthony.
I know, I'm such a bad liar. Okay,
wow, just use IHOP as a scapegoat for all your problems.
Yeah, I'm paying my family's rent with IHOP tips.
IHOP money.
Yeah, for working 10 hours at IHOP a week. Okay, and so.
You're okay. Like, you got, I'm so busy supporting a family and huffing and I don't have time for this math.
Right, for this math. But I did have time for math, apparently. That IHOP, lots of math. Okay, so
we're not getting off topic.
We're not getting off topic at all. Okay, so speaking of IHOP, the last pancake buffet joke was the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was around this moment. That was like her painting joke of that scene. And then Blanche comes home from the date. She's like in a puff. Mm-hmm. She's just like bewildered. bewildered that a man wouldn't fuck her on the first date.
But I feel like Blanche is kind of bewildered, like, all the time.
All the time.
Blanche bewildered Devereaux. Also, like, if this guy doesn't, like, mix, like, work and fucking, why is he even going on a date with her in the first place?
Yeah, that's
like,
weird.
You're such a total fucking asshole.
I kind of thought that it was, like, the plot twist was going to be, like, oh, he didn't fuck her because he's gay and just wanted to be her, like, gay art friend.
Yeah, that's why he was, like, super into paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what gay guys do. I don't know.
Yeah, we're so into paintings.
We're so into paintings.
Women, no. Paint, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, straight dudes have no idea about painting. Even though, like, 80% of, like, men in museums or people in museum are straight men.
Wait, and what?
Like, 80% really? Of...
Yeah. Is that a real statistic?
Yeah, look it up.
I so don't believe you. What are you talking about?
No, it's the truth. Have you heard of the Gorilla Girls?
Alternative facts.
Oh, you mean artists like
in museums.
Who are presented in museums?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like art administrators, like curators and stuff.
No.
Because like I interned at LACMA for like 3 years in college and it was hella gay. Like most hella men gay. Who work there are gay.
Yeah, they're hella gay.
But yeah.
Sorry, LACMA.
Historically,
you're hella gay.
Hella gay. Historically, though, I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
like I meant the artists are being shown in museums.
Right.
I'm sorry.
For sure.
You guys are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Artists.
No, most people working in the administrative area of art are hella gay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Glad we covered that.
So, in case you were wondering, listener. Okay. So, the next scene is, the shortest scene, which is Dorothy at the fucking... What was she on the phone? She was at the racetrack. Mm-hmm. Who was she talking to?
I don't remember...
Genevieve, do you remember who she was talking to?
She was just talking to somebody from the racetrack, I think. It was like some racetrack guy, and she already has a bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's like, I'm gonna pay you back. Like, I'm good for the money. Like, that's not
good. Oh, no, that was a later scene, though. Because there was the one scene right before
she was on
a credits break, or a commercial break, yeah, where she's on the phone at a phone booth at the racetrack and then it cuts to commercial.
She was talking to like the receptionist for the vice principal.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she was talking, she's supposed to have her interview that day and instead she's at the racetrack.
Yeah, that's dumb of her.
Did she postpone her interview because she was at the racetrack?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, wow.
This is a total episode of Intervention.
Yeah.
What?
That's like so... That's such a rapid escalation of like, oh, I took my friend to the racetrack to like, oh, this interview that I've been preparing for suddenly doesn't matter at all because I have to be at the racetrack right now.
But that's how it happened.
Like, you couldn't wait an hour to go to the racetrack.
You couldn't just buy some lottery tickets before you went to your interview.
Yeah, just like ease back into the, you know, depths of gambling despair. You don't have to jump right to rock bottom.
But then they go and she goes to the booth and I thought she was going to be like $300 on mouse. But she's like
$20.
I was like, okay, this is bad.
Yeah,
that was too bad. Okay.
Yeah. Because if she's already like giving up important things in her life for gambling, like a job interview, you'd think she'd also be willing to spend all her money. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Honestly, just in general, I got to say, like, I don't buy Dorothy as a gambling addict. Does this gambling thing ever come up anywhere else in the show?
I don't. Think so?
You know
does it?
The only person that gambles on the show is Sophia. Mm-hmm. Sophia
her
goes
mom.
To the track like all the time.
That's so weird.
Sophia does that all the fucking time,
and it's always just so fun. It's so classic, like sitcom, to use like a 12-step program as like a plot device resolution. Right. Just like, oh, and now everything's fine because I went to a meeting. Like,
do you remember?
It's a little more complicated than that.
that episode of The Simpsons where Marge gets into gambling.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That totally. Was my favorite. She's yeah. like super, like, it is so uncharacteristic. And it reminds me of this episode because mm-hmm. it's very uncharacteristic of her. Mm-hmm. But she's like legit, like addicted. Yeah. And I've never gambled. So me like, either. I don't know what that's like.
I've never, I have an addictive personality, but I've never... I've never been drawn to gambling.
Genevieve, you partake.
I'm a gambler. I don't do it very often though. I go to Vegas like probably once or twice a year, and then my husband and I like to play blackjack and craps.
Okay. Okay.
We play like probably once a month.
Interesting.
So yeah, but that's once a month.
I get the game element of it. Yeah. Like, yeah. I get the appeal as a game because I love games. I love board games. I love video games. But my whole thing is like, okay, like, I could gamble or I could just keep my money, which sounds super chill.
Super like, chill. Well, I just Vegas for the shininess, uh-huh. the lights, and the drunkenness and the scandalousness.
Mm-hmm. It's fun, especially if you're winning, but like it is kind of hard because like when you're winning, it's hard to know when to stop.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I can imagine that.
And I mean, arguably you say like, I mean, kind of the way I do it is I don't gamble with very much money. So mm-hmm. kind of if that goes out, I'm just like, okay, I'm done. Like it's not really a big deal. But like,
makes sense.
It is kind of demoralizing, even when you like lose that money. Like, sure. you're just like,
I bet
oh, man.
It feels like shit. I bet it feels like shit when you lose so much, like $300.
Yeah.
I've never gambled or done heroin. I think those are the two things.
The two things that Anthony has to
do. Those are the only two things you've never done.
I've never
been to the moon. You know, won a presidential race.
I've been the president. Well, two things that are people that ruin people's lives, I guess, that I haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What else ruins people's lives? I've never... published a sex video. Is that a thing that can ruin your life?
Well, here's a question. Does sexting count as publishing? Because if so, then I am guilty as charged.
Published like in the online.
Sure.
Yeah.
Public forum. I get it.
Yeah. But you never
know.
Anthony's
edited a sex video, but he hasn't published one.
You've edited one.
Yeah. And then with me in it. I added some special effects.
Special effects.
Yeah. Green.
Some lens
green
flare.
Screen. Lens flare.
A la Star Trek. You got that J.J. Abrams look.
I was a robot. Okay. and so the next scene is the stealing money scene from from Rose.
The like genuinely dramatic moment of the show.
That made my heart stop for mm-hmm. a moment. When Rose said, "I know you're lying." Okay, first let's describe what happened. Okay, so where Rose is painting. And then Dorothy's like, I need money. Like, I need it because my mom needs face work or something.
Yeah, she needs an operation. She makes up some excuse. She's like, I need to borrow money because Sophia needs an operation. And she's like, oh, you know, Rose is like, well, what? Is everything okay? She's like, well, it's for her face. It's cosmetic.
Like,
first
skin
she tries to say the paper boy. That was the paper boy. And she needs money for that first. And then she's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean, for an operation.
Right. Oh, she changes her mind? Okay. Yeah. Wow, I didn't catch that. So she's all over the place. And then Rose is like, just take my credit card, which is like the dumbest thing you can do.
She calls it a bank card. That we are definitely
not in the 90s. I forgot to say that the date is like March 1990. So okay. I was going to say 80s.
That's when I was born, March 1990.
Really?
Baby. Yeah.
This is, oh my God, the birthday episode. Yeah. I might be so wrong about that.
I was like, right as I was being pushed out of a vagina, Dorothy was conning Rose.
You were coming out of, an open face quesadilla.
Right as I was emerging from my quesadilla, my quesadilla womb.
Oh.
So she talks. Yeah, she like tries to con Rose into giving her money, and then Rose gives her her credit card and is like, "Here, just, oh my gosh, if it's for Sophia, like, of course I'll help out. Like, here, take as much money as you need. Here's my card." And then Dorothy feels so guilty. She's like, you know, you shouldn't always trust your friends. And she essentially like breaks down and is like, I'm so sorry. This is all a con. Like, I'm lying, lying to you. I can't do this. I need help. And then Rose is like, oh, I knew you were lying. I just hoped you'd have a difficult time, you know, hurting someone who cares about you so much. And she's like, plus, it was a good joke. She's like, plus, you couldn't use my debit card if you wanted to. You don't know what the PIN number is. And Dorothy's like, honey, it's written right on the card.
On the card. Oh, my gosh. It was great.
Classic.
And so it was super dramatic and then super, like, dumb.
Yeah.
Funny, dumb.
Yeah. And I feel like from a writing perspective, like, this scene is kind of a masterclass in sitcom writing, because it manages to like be a dramatic plot point in which the character's main conflict in the episode, she makes a choice about how to deal with her issue, but also like the character's unique characteristics and their chemistry really comes into play, because like Rose manages to be at once like a great friend and also just a total ding dong.
Incredibly nice.
Yeah.
So they chose like the perfect two characters, the perfect situation, and then the perfect twist.
Yeah.
And then to make it also like attractive, like an attractive scene, like a good, well-written scene. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah.
It was almost like a TV show in that way.
Yeah. that's deep, Anthony.
That's deep. I am full of depthness. Okay. Yeah, and so that's when I think that's when Sophia comes in and she's like, oh no, Dorothy's sort of like, I need help.
Yeah, she's like, I need help. And then I think it cuts. Yeah, then they like hold hands and smile at each other in that classic sitcom resolution way of lesbian sex. And,
they have lesbian sex. They paint each other naked, Titanic style.
Shit. We forgot to mention...
I think we forgot a lot of things.
We did, but we forgot to mention earlier in the episode, for a few scenes, Dorothy is wearing a very brave smock. With what looks like a rhinoceros skin print on it.
Rhinoceros print smock. That is the best thing.
I called it alligator skin,
but it was just, I love rhino.
She looked like she was camouflaged as a boulder. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was so weird.
She's like one of those like fucking chameleons in like Planet Life. Like, you know, like Planet Earth.
Yeah, I feel like if Dorothy had a fashion line, I feel like Brave Smocks would be
Brave Smock.
But there was like this fan effect in the front
that
was
Brave Smocks for sensible women.
Like, it was like the most earth tony. Like, because the actual earth texture, like, and then it was just like all of these details going on in it, and it was so bulky, like it was out of control.
It was out of control.
This podcast. Okay, and also there was a joke that somewhere where Dorothy storms out of the room, she's like, I had to live for years with the Temptations. And then Rose is like, oh my God, I had no idea Dorothy lived with the Temptations.
I haven't even seen them in concert. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So good.
So ridiculous. Oh my God.
The last scene, the scene after Dorothy's like, I need help, is the last scene, right?
I think so.
Then that's the second to the last scene, I think. That's when the last sexual scene was, I were working with Blaine. Oh, that's when they're sitting down in the living room, and then Dorothy's talking about Gamblers Anonymous.
Right, like right. Yeah, game. They just jump to, and now I'm recovered from my addiction.
I'm done being an addict. Yeah. Oh my God. It just took going to this meeting.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Just like, oh my, there was an episode where Rose was addicted to pills.
Oh, really?
But they never said which ones. Okay. It was pills. And
then she go to Pills Anonymous?
She went to Pills Anonymous.
That's so funny.
They so should funny. Have that.
Actually. I mean, I'm pretty sure anyway. Also, like, the real 12-step program is called Debtors Anonymous.
Debtors?
Debtors, like, oh. As in debt. But maybe there's a Gamblers Anonymous, too. I don't
there
know.
There is a Gamblers Anonymous. Oh, okay. It's called GA.
Yeah,
I remember the joke about Gamblers Anonymous that everybody does is, do they give you chips? Gamblers Anonymous,
okay, right?
Yeah,
that's funny.
good old road joke, guys. If you are a road comic, this one everyone does. Okay, and
so the last scene they jump to. Dorothy's fine now. She's going to meetings, and then the end
I'm
of
walking
the episode
on
is
sunshine. Oh.
She switched from gambling to dust off. Everything's fine, and I just the ending of the episode is really weird because it almost seems like the writers were like, oh, wait, we didn't resolve Blanche's storyline with her coworker.
It turns out communication's key.
Blanche comes in, and this is, we have to talk about this because this is actually very crazy to me. She comes in and she's basically like, so I talked to Donald and...
Oh, yeah, she wouldn't go to work.
And then she finally talks to him and she's like... So I talked to Donald, and turns out he just has this rule that, like, he won't date coworkers. So it was either he was going to break his rule or quit his job. So he decided to quit his job. So he could date me. And I've decided that I'm going to play hard to get.
And now Rose's career is dead and painting.
Rose's career is dead, and Blanche has decided to let a man... Quit his job so he could date her and then play hard to
and
get.
Then not give
that's
him the pussy.
That's fully evil.
That's fucked up.
That's so...
But is it what he wants?
I don't know.
No.
That's so unethical to like let a guy quit his job just so he can maybe go on a date with you.
And it wasn't even like a rule of the museum. It was a personal rule. It wasn't... He wasn't forced to.
That's
like,
so...
It was just fucked up.
Like... Yeah, that is just crazy.
I know.
I mean, if I were like art museum jobs aren't like a dime a dozen either.
Yeah.
There's I think there's
especially
like,
in Florida.
Even like art teach every art job there's like 500 applications like especially in teaching art. I know that for a fact. Like there's just so there's nothing. They're all cut. Maybe Reagan loved dart. Maybe it was just blossoming in this moment. Who knows? But okay. So we could research, but we don't do research.
I'm pretty sure actually Reagan tried to cut all funding for the National Endowment for the Arts.
Did he really?
Which is about to happen again with Trump.
Yeah, he tried. Now we had, at this time we had Bush in the White House.
Oh, was it Bush in the White House right now?
Yeah, because Reagan left in 88. So
Reagan lost in 88. Mm-hmm. Oh, they even mentioned the Dukakis.
In the first Bush. Yeah.
They mentioned the Dukakis. What was the other person's name?
Walter
sticker,
Mondale.
Yeah, Dukakis Mondale sticker in the back of your car. You're such a big it's a gambling joke. So Blanche is going to hold out her puss because she's a fucking psycho. And then the last joke is like, I'm a possum or something. Just,
what?
Like they brought back the possum. I'm like your little possum in the painting.
Yeah, she's like, I'm taking your advice, Rose. I'm going to be like the possum in your painting. I'm going to play hard to get. And she's like, oh, are you going to hang from a tree upside down too?
But wasn't that possum?
And then everything's fine.
Wasn't that possum a slutty possum? That's what I thought. That the possum was.
It was the possum was playing hard to get though. It was giving off little signals, but it wasn't
to the human man.
Right.
Yeah, that possum wanted the dick.
Yeah. I think that's the
St. Olaf
moral of the story.
Hiker dick. I assume it's a hiker.
Possums want that dick.
Yeah. But don't possums like hiss and fucking yell at you? Like,
possums are scary. I actually have a friend, Josh.
I don't want to put a comic dick in a possum.
Josh Sood, who adopted a wild possum that he found in his backyard and is raising it. Yes. And is currently
attracted to the
in
girl.
A monogamous relationship with it. No, it's crazy. Possums are weird. They scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, I see them all the time here. I never saw them in Arizona.
Hmm.
And then, okay, this was a weird part. Dorothy says she hasn't gambled in 15 years. And then, earlier in the episode, and then she says, oh, I haven't been to a meeting in 15 years.
So yeah, it's like, girl, that's where you went wrong. You should have kept going to those meetings.
Because she went to, what, 3 meetings?
And she's like, I'm cured. It's fine.
I'm cured. I'm fine. Bye, guys.
That's what we call being dry.
Yeah.
Girl, you need to get your shit maintained.
A dry drunk?
Yeah, like a dry gambler. Or a dry addict.
Okay. I thought you were
not getting that recovery you need. I know a lot about addiction. We don't have to go into it.
I worked at IHOP, so
right. Which is basically an AA meeting.
International House of Possums.
Possums. Wow.
And I was addicted to the possum pussy.
Cool. Wow.
Okay. All right. Did we miss anything?
I think that's it.
I think. Oh my god! I think we did it!
Yay!
All right. So thank you so much, Henry, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
This was super fun.
Listeners, if you think I'm funny, please feel free to follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
My Twitter handle's @HenryCrouch, just like my name.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thank you so much for having me.
This is great.
This was a wonderful pleasure. And this comes out on February 8th. Is there anything you want to promote or push on our listeners?
I produce a monthly comedy show in downtown LA called Art Baby Make Haha with comics Alexa Loftus and Alex Hanna. Our next show is going to be on February 25th at 8:30 p.m. We've got John Early from TBS's Search Party on the show. He just moved to LA from New York, and we're locking down some other great comics. Kat Yuri's also going to be on the lineup, and some more surprise guests. So you can find us on Facebook. Our Facebook group is just Art Baby Make Haha.
It is a wonderful show. I went to the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so much fun. And everyone was dressed like super fancy.
Yeah.
All the curators.
We're fancy-ass motherfuckers.
Yeah, everyone's so funny.
Yeah. The premise essentially of the show is that me and the other two comics on the show were all art world dropouts. All three of us went to art school and are now comics.
Art world dropouts.
Yeah, art world dropouts.
Back to.
And the show is at an art gallery downtown, so it's sort of a full circle return for us to our roots.
You're activating the space.
We're activating the space in a unique performative way.
Performance art style.
Yeah.
Technically, exactly. You're still artists. Yeah. That is what they said all the time in art school. Activate the space.
That's my mantra every morning when I wake up is like, I splashed cold water on my face and I'm like, you're still an artist. You're still an artist. Stand up is art. Everything's going to be fine.
Convince yourself. It is the best art because you can spend, 6 months on an art piece and then 3 people look at it for 10 seconds walking by it.
Or you can spend 2 minutes on a joke and use it for years and then people think you're talented.
And whatever you wanted to say to this fucking art piece, you already told 200 people
exactly.
In one night. It's the best.
Yeah.
Artists become comedians. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, Genevieve, sorry. What do you want to plug after February 8th?
Well, I have a Store's Objection coming up on February 24th. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a guest on that. And that's going to be at Space 55 at 10:30. And some other dates that I have forgotten that I will promote last minute on Facebook, I'm sure.
Look it up, people. Yes, look it up.
But you can, if you want to keep up with me, you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. I'm at Genevieve Rice. So.
Awesome. So,
yeah.
Look her up, people. I'm sure you all know Genevieve. And I'm sure you all know me, too. I'm at Anthony DeSamito on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm going to be at the Tempe Improv February 8th, the day it comes out, actually. I'm going to be opening for Eric Schwartz. It's going to be super fun. And then I don't have much right after that. I'll be at the Next Stage Theater February 27th and then Flappers February 28th. For the Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Do ask.
Do ask. I'm sorry. Do ask. Do tell. It's a military gay show. So that should be super fun. And along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. And is at Thank You For Being A Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP at TIFBAP. Also at TIFBAP on Instagram. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn Radio, or any other platform you used to listen to us today. Music is by Brian Korkernack and Mike Dennison. For those of you that are following along the next episodes, it's two episodes. It's The President's Coming, part one and two. And it's the season finale of season five. So get ready, guys. And just to remind everybody, Hulu is going to be streaming Golden Girls for the first time ever February 13th. So this weekend, after this podcast come out, you can start not paying for episodes on Amazon to watch the Golden Girls.
Yeah, it's coming out just in time for Galentine's Day.
Galentine's Day. Nice. It's gonna be super fun. So if you're a lonely loser like me, you can watch Golden Girls or like Henry. And so thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Henry, for being here again.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was great. And thank you, Genevieve.
You're welcome.
So polite.
I didn't mean that to come out so sarcastic, but
you're welcome. God.
Here we are.
Thank you for listening and have a beautiful day and or night. Goodbye.
Bye.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff a chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.